1. If on the screens, if you can pull out Psalms chapter 139, verses 15 through 16 in the Amplified. Psalms 139, 15 through 16 in the Amplified. We're turning in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. We've been talking about for a couple of months now on Wednesday nights and here or there on Sunday mornings about walking with God. And friends, it's the honest to God's truth. God wants to walk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. Number one, because He loves you. He is your Father. If you're born again, you're His very own child. And He wants to know you just like you desire to have rich, warm fellowship with your children. God desires to have rich, warm fellowship with His children. He wants to know them and He wants us to know Him. He wants to fellowship with us. But even beyond that, God wants to fellowship with us, and God wants to speak to us, if you will, to lead us, and to guide us into His plan for our life. And that's what we've been majoring on this past Sunday. I encourage you to get the CD if you weren't here. And what we want to continue talking about this morning is God wants to lead you into the perfect will of God He has for you. God's got a will for you. He's got a destiny for you. You were placed here on this earth to do something. In fact, long before you were ever formed in your mother's womb with a body, God gave your spirit, the real you, an assignment. He called it to do something. Then He sent it to this earth to fulfill that assignment. God's got a plan for your life. And I think that every Christian would say that. I think that every Christian, no matter what church they go to, would say, I think God has a plan for me. And if we open up His Word and we learn from it, which we're desiring to do here, we can see the general will of God concerning us. We can see it's His will for us to walk in love. We ought to be sweet and nice and kind. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, be sweet. Be sweet. You need to just be sweet. It's the will of God. Amen. You can open up the Bible and see God's will concerning you. It's the general will. You can see God wants us to live by faith. And the more of the will of God we know, the more pleasing we can be to Him. Isn't that right? Once we see something is the will of God and we see it clearly, then we can begin doing it. And in doing it, we can be pleasing to Him. And I want to please my Father. Well, we know that not only does God have a general will for all of us, it's His will that all of us walk in love, all of us live by faith. But God also has a specific will for you and for me, a set race for us to run, a race that He set up for us. And we're called by God to run it. We see in our Bible, in the Scriptures, men and women who did. We also see people who didn't. We see Samson's life get off track, get out of the will of God. We saw Saul's life start out of the will of God, but eventually he got over into it. And our goal in this series is to get you in the will of God, to get you knowing what the will of God for your life is. So that when we're making decisions, we're not just making them based off of what we want or even what we think is best for us or our families. But we're making decisions based off of the knowledge of God's will. That we're making decisions based off of what He wants us to do. We see the Scripture in the book of Psalms, if we can pull that up on the screen, Psalms chapter 139, verses 15 through 16 in the Amplified. The psalmist is talking about here before he was born. Notice, it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Verse 16, watch this. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Watch this. And in your book, God's book, all, what does all mean? It means all, everyone. If you look up the word all, it means all. It means everything, everybody. All the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Let's read this again. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. This is talking to God. And in your book, all the days of my life, every one of them, today, tomorrow, yesterday, all the days of your life, all the days of my life, were written before they ever took shape. When as yet there was none of them. Friend, God has a specific plan for your life, for my life. And I'll even go a step beyond that. According to this scripture, God's got a plan for today, for you. He's planned how today should go, not how it would go, how it should go. Before you were ever born, God knew the end from the beginning concerning you. I'm not real big on suspense. I don't care for suspense. You can ask my wife. If we're sitting and watching a television show and it starts to get suspenseful, I'll pull out my iPhone or get out my computer and Google the show to see how the ending is. And so I'll pull it up on Wikipedia and I'll go down and find out that, you know, it looks bad now, but he lives. He really does live. And so, yeah, I get that peace. And once I got that peace, because I don't like all that turmoil, once I got that peace, then I can close it and enjoy the movie. And so I kind of tell her, don't worry, he lives. He watch right about now. Okay, yeah, you see it starts turning around. So yeah, that's the truth. I mean, anytime it starts getting suspenseful, I like to find out what the end is. Well, just as that movie review, or just as that review, you can find it online, written down, what has already happened. God's written down concerning you what your life should look like. Not would, should look like. There's a plan for today. There's a plan for tomorrow. There's a plan for this month. There's a plan for this year. There's a plan for the next decade. There's a plan for your life, specifically for you. Something you were sent here to do, to accomplish, a race that you were to run, are to run. And my goal in saying this, and my goal in teaching this, is to make you aware of this. Because friends, how many people wake up every day and just live with no thought concerning, am I living the will of God for today? You may have some people who say, I desire to do the will of God, but do they think in context of every morning when they wake up, God's got a specific plan for today? There's somewhere I'm supposed to be. There may be someone I'm supposed to meet, someone I'm supposed to call, something I'm supposed to do. But there, God's got a plan for my life today, and I want to know what it is. See, until you have that hunger, it'll never lead over you into being led by the Spirit. You've got to learn this. God's got a plan for you, a plan for today. You've got to honor it. You've got to respect it. You've got to yield to it. You've got to slow down enough and know God's got a plan for today. You've got to take the time to wait on the Lord to make sure you're living in that plan. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, we see this as second witness. Watch what it says here in Jeremiah 1 and chapter 5. It says, before I formed thee, and if on the screens, if you can pull out that scripture in Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified on the screens. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, he's talking to Jeremiah here, but God's not a respecter of persons. So if he knew Jeremiah, he knows us. And get this, he says, long before you were ever in your mother's womb, I knew you. So he knew you before you were you. Before you were on this earth, God knew you. Well, not only did he know you, but watch what he does. I knew thee, and before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee, or called thee, a prophet unto the nations. He said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. Before you came out of her womb, I called you to do something. I gave you a destiny. His destiny was to be a prophet unto the nations. What's yours? You got to have one. If you didn't have one, then God would be a respecter of persons. And if that's the case, we're all in trouble. What's your destiny? He's got one for you. He's got a will for your life. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified, this is a marvelous scripture. Watch what it says here. Oh, I'd get an Amplified just for this scripture. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew." Watch this. "Why? That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us." Notice, God predestined your life to accomplish something. There's some works that your life's supposed to do. It's supposed to accomplish. And people get this idea with predestination that if God's predestined for me to do something, then I will do it. That's not the case at all. If that was the case, then Saul never would have killed Christians. God ordained Saul to be Paul and write the three-fourths of the New Testament and to be this awesome man of God. But he spent a good majority of his life out of that will, kicking against the pricks. He predestined beforehand that Paul do those good works, but he wasn't doing them until he discovered his vision, his purpose. At the end of his life, he stood before King Agrippa and said, "Oh, King, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision." So he's saying, "I'm running my race. I'm finishing my course." There was a course for Paul. There's a course for you. There's something you're supposed to do. Works God planned for you to do ahead of time. Predestined that you should do them. Watch this. Good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Not only does he have good works planned for you to do, but he also has some paths for you to take. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Before you were ever born, God designed paths for your life to walk down. It's not only good works your life is supposed to accomplish and do, but there's a path. Paul also called it a course that your life's supposed to follow. Not only that, but this path's going to lead to something. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should. Notice this, not that we would, but that we should. There's some paths you should take in life. There's some ones that some of us in this room have missed. We should have taken them. We didn't take them. Cost us. But if you still got breath in your lungs, there's a chance. Bible says in the book of Matthew that a bruised reed he will not break. I love that passage of scripture. I never understood what that meant. I can't tell you how many times I read it and just passed right by it. There was a time where someone asked me to write a letter for a particular individual who was being sentenced before a judge. And they were asking the judge for mercy. And so part of that, they wanted letters written. And I get a lot of invitations like that to do that on people's behalf because obviously as a congregation, you know, you have, especially the bigger you get, the more needs come up. And so people often ask me to do things like that. But this one particular occasion, I sat down to write a little letter. And I kid you not, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I penned this thing. I mean, it was beyond anything I could do. And the scripture he took me to was a bruised reed he shall not break. And what that scripture means is back then, shepherds would play a little instrument through a reed. A reed is a hollow tube type thing that, you know, makes a whistle sound when you blow through it. And oftentimes, if they found a real good one, you know, as you're shepherding and as you're working, it could get bounced around and sometimes get bruised or get cracked. Well, the shepherd, if he really liked it, he wouldn't break it because it still served a purpose with the crack. In fact, sometimes the crack would actually make the reed sound better. And so if he had one that was bruised, sometimes it could actually do more work for the shepherd and play a better sound than if it wasn't bruised. So if he had a bruised reed, he wouldn't break it because it still had some purpose to it. The only time the shepherd would break the reed was when there was no more purpose for the reed. Well, and some people feel this way all the time. Does God really have a purpose for me? I've missed it so bad. Well, if you've still got breath in your lungs, you may be bruised, but he hasn't broken you. And maybe it didn't work out just right, and maybe you weren't perfect, but sometimes through that imperfection, you learn so much that you actually play a better sound than if you were never bruised at all. Isn't that good? So that's what I was writing in that letter to the judge, was yes, he's made a mistake. He's messed up. This individual has messed up. But I'm asking for mercy. Don't try to break a reed just because it's bruised. And sometimes that bruised reed can actually play a better sound. Taking paths that we should take. If you've missed it, don't worry. If you still got breath in your lungs, it means there's still a path you can take. This life is not over until it's over. Taking paths that you should walk in. Notice these paths, if you can pull my scripture back up in Ephesians. Notice these scripture, the scripture in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Notice taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should, not we would, but that we should walk in them. Notice these paths lead to something. What do these paths lead to, Paul? These paths lead to us living the good life, not a good life. The good life. The good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Notice this. God's got a life designed ahead of time for you that you should live. This life includes you doing some good works. This life includes you taking paths. And this life leads to the good life, not a good life. The good life. There is a life that God has designed just for you. I mean, it is His life that He's crafted for you. It's filled with you doing some good things for Him, and it's also filled with Him taking some paths and designing them for you to walk down so that you can live in the good life. The good life. What's the good life? It's a life filled with a richness unimaginable. I'm not talking about just money. I know a lot of people who have money who are miserable. They're not living a good life. The good life is filled with richness in every way imaginable. Your life is full. It's rich. It's saturated. Spiritually speaking, in your relationships, your life is filled with love, joy, and peace. You've got a fullness about you. You're savoring life, not just living it. That's the good life. And the only way to get in that good life is to know the paths He wants you to take. To do the works He's calling you to work. Go over to the book of 1 Corinthians. And while we're looking at this, pull up Acts chapter 9 and verse 5 on the Amplified for me. Acts chapter 9, verse 5 in the Amplified. And in your Bibles, go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. God's got a path for you. This path leads to the good life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and on the screen, Acts chapter 9, verse 5 in the Amplified. Acts 9, 5 in the Amplified, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God's got a path for your life and my life to follow down. This path, when we take it, leads to a good life. Well, I said that incorrectly. Leads to the good life. The life that God has crafted just for you. It's filled with richness. It is the good life. When we get off that track, that's when life gets dangerous. When we get off those paths and we go our own way, that's when our life falls into turmoil. I'll give you an example. We already mentioned this. Saul, now known as Paul, went for years persecuting the church. His destiny, the path he's to take for life, is to make Christians, to train them, to equip them, to teach them, to understand the mystery of the gospel and reveal it to the Gentiles. I mean, an awesome plan for God's life for this man named Saul. But for years, his life was taking a different course. And you know he's going down to persecute even more Christians. He has a vision, and in the vision he sees Jesus there talking to him. And watch what he says in Acts chapter 9, verse 5 in the Amplified. I love this. And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now notice this next phrase. It is dangerous. Everyone say dangerous. Dangerous, and it will turn out badly. Everyone say turn out badly. Turn out badly for you if you keep kicking against the goad. The goad was something that they used for animals to prod them in the right direction. You know, you may be seeing that on shows or on a farm, and keep the scripture, if you will, up there for me. You may see those types of things, and you see them kind of trying to get an animal to go in the right direction. And so the King James calls it pricks, but they would try to prick it, goad it, prompt it to go in the right direction. Jesus appeared to Paul and said, Paul, you've been having some goading going on, some pricking. Now, there's no other time recorded in the Bible where Paul ever had any type of experience like this before this. This goading was inward. There's a pricking in Paul's heart. This is not right. He was watching these stonings, and something on the inside was saying, this is not right. I don't know what it is, but this is not good. I don't need to be doing this. And so finally, God intervenes for Saul. And he tells Saul, if you keep kicking against these goads, if you keep kicking against these promptings, there's some things that's going to happen. Number one, it's going to be dangerous for you. There's danger involved with this. And number two, it's going to turn out badly for you. This is the opposite of the good life. Well, what led to the danger? What led to it turning out badly, kicking against the goads? What's going to lead to the good life, taking the paths that lead to it? You see, in your life and mine, every day you are faced with a decision to either look to your heart for wisdom concerning life or to just live life and ignore the inside. Friend, in your heart, you will get promptings. You will get leadings. Some of those are checks. It's a goading. I need to slow down. I don't know what that is, but I don't need to be around that. It could be you're in the middle of a conversation, and while you're talking, there's a goading going on. You don't need to say that. When you get that, you got to stop. You got to rein in those words and just simmer back. It could be you're in a relationship, and everything in the natural seems good, and it seems like, man, this could be the person God wants me to marry, but on the inside, there's a goading. It may look good, but if there's a goading, friend, it will be dangerous, and it will turn out badly. Oh, but friends, if you get peace on the inside, if you get a sense of warmth on the inside, if you sense, oh, this is good, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I know this is good, I know I need to do this, friends, that's a leading. And that leading, it's designed to keep taking you on the path God has for you. And that path is not going to lead to danger. It's not going to lead to things turning out badly. It's going to lead to safety. It's going to lead to peace. It's going to lead to the good life. Friend, if you're a born-again Christian, your heart is your safest guide. Your spirit man on the inside is your safest guide. You cannot lean to your own understanding. You've got to follow your heart. Notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Man, you guys are listening so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but as it is written, watch this, this is so great. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Notice, God's got things prepared for you. He's got things prepared for me. But there's an issue. My eye can't see it. My ear can't hear it. I can't figure it out. But God has some things prepared for me. Well, that begs an interesting question. If God's got things prepared for me, but my eye can't see it, my ear can't hear it, on the inside I can't figure it out, how in the world will I ever get in those things? Well, the scripture doesn't stop there. Notice in the next verse, verse 10, but, as Brother Dean always says, you got to get your but in the right place. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Your eye can't see it. Your ear can't hear it. You can't figure it out in the natural. But God's given you a helper, His Spirit. And His Spirit's designed to do something. Notice, He's going to reveal them, what's them, the things that God's prepared for you, unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, even the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? What does that mean? No man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him. It means, have you ever seen someone who was doing something for you, but you were questioning their motives? I mean, they may be do something, but you don't really know what they're thinking. Why are they really doing that? And he's saying that no man knows the spirit of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him. He's saying on the inside, they may have a different motive. They may have different thoughts, different ideas that you can't discern. And watch this. He likens that to God and the Holy Spirit. He says, for no man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so, the things of God no man knoweth but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. He knows the thoughts of God. He knows the plan of God. And watch this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So the Holy Spirit, the one who knows the deep things of God, has been given unto us. We've received him. Why have we received him, Paul? But the spirit which is of God, why have we received him? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why did God send the Holy Spirit? Because God had some things prepared for us that our eye couldn't see, our ear couldn't hear, our mind couldn't figure it out. And He needed us to get in those things. He wants us walking in those paths, so He gave us a helper, His Holy Spirit, who knows the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit's designed to reveal those things to you that God has prepared for you. He reveals it to your heart. We keep reading here, and we'll do it because we've got a little bit of time. We'll make the time. How's he going to reveal those things to us? Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, your eyes, your ears, your senses, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because a lot of times they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. What's he saying? As long as you're living just as a natural man, you'll never know the things that are freely given to you of God. You'll never be able to take the paths that God has for you, to do the good works he prepared for you to do ahead of time. They're spiritually discerned. Goes back to what we talked about last week. If you're trying to find out the will of God for your life, where are you looking? You're looking to your heart. You're looking towards your spirit. It's spiritually discerned. And if on the inside, like we said, there's a goading there, that means stop, stop, slow down, back off, get out, stop. If there's peace there, it means go forward. Go ahead. Friend, trust that. Let me take you to a scripture and we'll close. We'll go to two, one on the screens and then one in our Bibles. Go over to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And look here in verse 30. The book of Isaiah. And we'll look here in verse 30. Or chapter 30, I'm sorry, verse 21. And on the screens, if you can pull up 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Verses 1 through 4. 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 4. We're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21. Watch this scripture here in Isaiah 30 and verse 21. It says, and thine ears, Isaiah 30, verse 21, shall hear a word. Not a paragraph, not a sentence, not a dissertation. A word behind thee saying, This is the way. Nothing elaborate. Just this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Let's read it again. It said, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is a great example of the inward witness. When God's leading you and you're desiring Him to lead you, don't look for a voice. Don't look for or try to hear a voice or look for something outwardly. It's spiritually discerned. You're looking inwardly. And what you're looking for is the inward witness. His spirit bears witness with your spirit, Romans 8:16. You're looking for a witness on the inside. This witness is a knowing. It's a knowing you should do something or shouldn't do something. It seems good that I can't figure it out. And in the natural, it looks like I shouldn't do it. But on the inside, I know this is God. I know I need to do this. And other times, it just seems bad. I need to stay far, far away from that. You go to sign the contract, but as soon as that pen hits the page, it's just something on the inside churning. Follow that. This is the way, walk ye in it. When God is leading you down these paths, it's a knowing on the inside you need to do something. I'll give you this example. My father went to Rhema when he was just a young guy. Him and my mother were just married. And they didn't have any money. And struggling financially, to say the least. But they're in faith, and they're going to go to a Rhema Bible Training Center and learn faith. And they get up there, and they get in their apartment, and their kitchen table was made out of cinder blocks and plywood. They were poor, poor. And so they have this, and they get there, and finally, a couple of weeks pass, and they run out of food. They don't have any food, and they don't have any money to buy any food. And so my father decides, I'm going to use my faith. God's going to turn this around. And so he's getting in faith, and about 2 days go by. And you know, you go 2 days without eating, your flesh starts talking to you real strong. But even more than that, his pride as a man wanting to take care of his wife. See, his wife came from a fairly wealthy background, and you know, she never lacked for food, put it that way. And here he is, married to her, and he can't even put food on the table. So that's eating away at him. It's not just a gnawing in his stomach because he's hungry. It's gnawing away at his manhood. So he goes outside and he picks up the phone and he calls his father and tells him the situation. And his father told him that he was going to wire him some money. I think he said $150 was what he's going to wire him. And they hung up the phone. And as soon as he hung up, my father just knew on the inside it wasn't right, that he needed to learn to live by faith. And so he called up his father and said, don't send the money. He said, I'm learning faith. I need to use it. I need to practice it. And so he went back inside. Another day passed, and he was just praying about this need. And while he's praying, I'm talking about hearing a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. It's nothing incredibly spectacular. It's nothing just off the wall. It's just a knowing on the inside you need to do something or you need to stop doing something. He's sitting there praying about it, and he knows in his heart, I need to go to the grocery. He can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense. Just like 1 Corinthians said to his mind, it was foolishness to him. I don't need to go to the grocery. I need some money so I can go to the grocery. They just knew on the inside, I don't know what it is. I need to go to the grocery. We need to go. Why? I don't know. I just know we need to be there. Just a knowing. And so him and my mother got in the car. And their car, it was the way the door shut. Have you ever seen those rubber things in the back of the truck that have the hooks on them? They kind of stretch so you can hold stuff down. Well, they had two of those, and they latched in the center, you know, in between the driver's seat and the passenger seat, and one end connected to the little bar on the driver's side door, and another end connected to a bar on the passenger door. So they rolled down the windows just enough and kept them rolled down so you could reach in and unlock your door by taking that strap off. Then you'd sit down and lock your side back up, release it in the center so the other person get in, then you tighten it back up. And that kept the doors tight, kept them locked, so if you were driving down the road, you wouldn't fall out of the car if you made a real strong U-turn. Because the locking system on the doors wasn't working. Well, they get there to the store, the grocery store, and he pulls out a cart. And he feels foolish doing it. So he didn't have any money. They walk around this store, and that ate away at him even more, because here they are passing all this food, and you can't buy any of it. And so they walk around the store for about an hour. Put the cart back up. Didn't get anything. Couldn't afford to get anything. Got back in the car and drove home. Back to the apartment. Went up to the apartment. I think they were on the second floor. Sat in there, and he almost felt like crying. Just, he's failing. About 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. They open up the door, and it's a lady there. And she says, "I don't know why I'm doing this. But," she said, "I was at the grocery store you were just at. And I saw you and your wife going up and down the aisles there. And I just thought it was kind of strange that you guys were passing all the food and not putting anything in the buggy." And she said, "I saw you put up the cart when I was checking out. And you were leaving through the doors just as I was." And she had a grocery cart full of groceries. She said, "I saw you guys get in the car and sit there for a while, and I put my groceries in my trunk. And I finally saw you guys back off to leave, and I just felt like I should follow you. And so I followed you back to your apartment complex. And I was sitting in my car, and I just feel like I need to give you all the food that I just bought." And so they go down there, and they're going to get the groceries, and they see this is groceries. This is not value brand stuff. This is stuff that they never could imagine them having at this stage of life. Steaks and chicken and all of this type of food that they never would have been able to buy in their own strength. It was a good day. They celebrated. They rejoiced. Tears were shed on that day. Tears of joy. It was a good day. Why was it a good day? He was led that day. Listen to him. He's led. He was led that day. That's why it was a good day. He was led that day. Living the good life which he prearranged and preordained that you should walk in. Friend, you can have not just days like that. You can live a life like that. But how do you do it? You got to be led. How are you led? You got to look to the inside. And when you sense like, I don't know why, but I need to do this. I need to apply for that job. And I know I'm not qualified, and I know I don't have all the initials to put by my name that could get me in. And I don't know anyone who could call. But I just know I need to apply for it. I know we need to take the company this direction. I can't quite figure it out, but every time I think about it, I just got peace in going this way. Friends, yield to that. It's God designing you to get you over in the good life. And when you sense a goading, just a pricking on the inside that something's not right, yield to that, because it's God trying to keep you from something that's dangerous, to keep you from something going astray in your life. Follow that knowing when you should do something, that peace. And when you get that goading back off, friend, I'm telling you, if you can learn to do that, not just monthly or yearly or today because you've heard the message, if you can do that every day, you will have it made. Living the good life which he prearranged, preordained that you should live. I'm telling you, friend, your conscience is your safest guide. Follow it above all else.